Good morning. Thank you for being here. It has been a blessing for me to be with you again this morning. The Capital Campaign is in full swing, and I'm excited. I'm happy to be here to talk to you about life and life in God's presence. Last week, we began our Capital Campaign message from Exodus 25. There are three lessons that we learned from last week. Number one, God called Abraham out for love. God set him as a blessing to the whole earth, which is to prepare for the birth of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who will make God's love known to the world. In the same way, we are called to know Jesus, to demonstrate God's love. And that's why we are here, to really do God's project. Everything that we do here in the church is to really get God's love out to other people. Number two, building a house of worship is God's idea. It's not man's idea. It points to God's Son, the Lord Jesus, and his presence among his people. The building is a visible testimony that God's love is found right here. Wherever the building is found, it is a testament that God's love can be found there. Number three, God wanted his people who have been saved by him to participate in the building of the house of worship. We may solicit support from the outside, but mainly the fun is to come from God's people, his children. Last week, I talked a little bit about the questions that we from time to time have and other people have as well. God is powerful. God owns everything. Why is God asking money from you and from me? That's a legitimate question because it is the core of who we are on earth as human beings. We live in a world whose economy is driven by money. And money is the value in which we put on our lives. If someone has a lot of money compared to someone who has little, we can immediately take a guess that the one who has a lot more money is much more valuable in the eyes of the world. And so we as human use that same way to value other people and value ourselves. So when we talked about money, we are dealing with issues of security, issues of meaning, issues of who we are. But it also opened up a understanding of what is more important. Is it fame? Is that things? Is that Babylon, where we call, we're going to make a name for ourselves? Or is that Jerusalem, where we wait for God, depend on God to make a city for us? And God has called us to out of Babylon to Jerusalem. That is the story of faith. And so when we talked about money, we are talking about how fast can we leave Babylon for Jerusalem. That is part of the issues that we're dealing with in life. Today, I want to speak about the way people can give to the constructions of the house of worship. Last week, we studied from Exodus 25. Today, we're going to move to Exodus 35. So if you have the Word of God, turn with me to Exodus 35. We're going to read from verse 1 to 9. Moses assembled the whole Israelite community and said to them, "These are the things the Lord has commanded you to do. For 6 days work is to be done, but the seventh day shall be your holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it must be put to death. Do not light a fire in any of your dwelling on the Sabbath day. Moses said to the whole Israelite community, this is what the Lord has commanded. From what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone who is willing is to bring to the Lord an offering of gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen, gold hair, ram skins dyed red, and hides of sea cows, acacia wood, olive oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and for the fragrance incense, and onyx stones, and other gem to be mounted on the ephod, and bread piece. Father, building a house of worship is your idea, and here we know that we need a bigger facility to worship you, to prepare the children, the youth, and the people that you're bringing into your kingdom in the days to come. But we're struggling with money issues here because it takes money to build this building, to buy this building. And the issue is not that where we're going to look for this money. The issue is always within us. How much can we give or should we give? Some questions are of a struggle. Some questions is of faith, wanting to know exactly how much you want us to contribute. And so be with us and guide us through this process, not only today, but in the days to come. Be with us and guide us through. Your Spirit lead us and we follow. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We read here in Exodus 35 that God asks two things from the people. The first is to dedicate one day of the week to God. This is a way of God saying, look back before you move forward. The second thing that God asks is, of course, for the money to build the tabernacle. But why looking back? Well, if we look back, the introductions of the Sabbath was done in Exodus 16. That is the time they came out of Egypt and on the way to Mount Sinai. They're not there at Mount Sinai yet. They're just coming through, and they have no food to eat. And when they have no food to eat, they're complaining, we don't have food to eat, and we don't have meat, and why don't God let us die in Egypt? And God said, okay, give me one day. It's interesting how God does it. Give me one day per week. Dedicate that day to me, and I will show you. Well, it is odd that when you don't have everything, you complain. And God said, give more. You're like, so God took a day from them and said, 6 days, You will work. You have plenty of things to eat. On seventh day, that's the day of rest. But I will give you abundance on the sixth day so that you don't have to work on seventh day. That's what God did. And that was their experience. They actually gave one day to God. And then God, instead of take that day away from them, God gave it back. And a blessing. Said, you rest now. And I'm going to give you all you need for this day of rest. That's how wonderful God has done. This is like this. In our day, you might consider going to work for this employer who have no respect for your faith and require you to work 7 days a week and there's no rest. And you work there, you're exhausted. And if you take one day off, he's cut off your pay. But you work for this employer for years And the employer now said to you, okay, I'm going to give you one day a week. It will cost me something, but it won't cost you anything. See, your pay will not be cut. Just have an extra day just to enjoy, relax. Your pay won't be cut. What would you do with that extra day, 4 days a week that you have not had in your life before? Suddenly, you take that and you celebrate and you say, honey, let's go fishing. Honey, let's do this and that, because it is a day for us to enjoy, to celebrate. That's exactly what God gave back to them. So on this chapter 35, God said, remember in a gentle way, but in a commanding way too. God is saying, I already asked you to give me one day. And that is for you to live by. Now you have experienced that. Look back to that as I'm asking you for a gift in the days to come. Well, they know. If you are an Israelite, you know the blessings that you had on the seventh day. We are so spoiled here in America because everyone receives the seventh day, and then instead of resting, we take it, go fishing or do something else and be exhausted. And after the seventh day, we still feel like we need another, an eighth day to rest. You know, that's just because we are spoiled. But that is a blessing that they had. So God said, look back to that. Look back to that. I already give you that. And what I've taken from you, I did not really take from you. I turned it around and blessed you. Now I'm asking you to do another one. Give me a gift. Now give me your money. All right. That's part two. But before part two, before we understand fully of that, there's another looking back that we have to see. When God gave the instruction to Moses in chapter 25, Moses is up in the mountain with God, face to face. The people of Israel are down there in the camp. They said, where's Moses? Where's God? Who's going to lead us from here? Let's make an idol so we can worship this idol and call this idol our God and let this idol lead us into the promised land. They committed a great sin against God. So Moses came down, and Moses called the Israelites together and called his Levites together, and she said, take your sword, Levites, and go and kill your brothers because they have sinned against God greatly. On that day, the Levites killed 3,000 Israelites. You can see the sins that bring so much destruction to the community because of the sin. If you are there with the Israelites, you must be thinking to yourself, how come we are so blind? How come we are so sinful? Then when God is talking to Moses out there and we already commit sin here, what could we do? Is there a way in which we can commune with God and ask God on a daily basis so that we don't sin against God? But God knows that. Moses knows that. So Moses set up a tent. We see that in chapter 33. Moses set up a tent. And Moses told the people, if you have any questions, go ask God in the tent. God will meet you in the tent. And so everyone who had questions, go to God in the tent, ask God, and God respond. God answer them. Moses himself go to talk to God in the tent and have a one-on-one conversation with God as two friends talking face to face. They got the idea that we don't have to sin. We can live without sinning. Whenever we go to the tent before God, God will talk to us. That is the way to prevent us from sinning. That's a way to really hold us together as a holy people before God. That's what happened. So that is another way of Moses said, look back to the tent. Now I'm giving you, God is calling you to make that permanent. That's the tabernacle that's going to be permanent. So, you know, what we're going to do to make it permanent that you can go to God, talk to God, have one-on-one relationship with God in your life all the time. You can go to God day and night, morning, evening, in the middle of the night like I have done last night. And a lot of you have done that. So, Moses said, now God gives you an opportunity to build this tabernacle, and God wants your money. Now, if you are an Israelite, knowing what God has given you as a gift through the Sabbath rest, and you know how wonderful that is, you never had it in your life, you appreciate so much, you're wanting to give to God and to receive blessing from God just as he had done so in the first place. You're longing to participate in this. When God called you to give to me so I can build this tabernacle, your heart is desiring to be there with God. But you also know that there's something in you that is sinful against God. You want to get rid of that. You don't want to die. You don't want your people to suffer anymore. So you are willing to go to God and say, yes, I want that for me. I want that for my people. I want that for my children who are coming. So they then give generously to God from their heart. That's what happened. They respond. We can see that in verse 20 and following. Then here we read, then the whole Israelite community withdrew from Moses' presence, and everyone who was willing and whose heart moved him came and brought an offering to the Lord for the work of the tent of meeting, for all its service, and for the sacred garments. There are three ways that they gave. The first one is they gave what they have, they possess. The second is that they gave from their earnings. The third is they give from their sweat equity. Let me talk to you about these. If we read more on verse 21 to 24, this is the section that dealt with people who give from what they have. Here, verse 22. All who were willing, men and women alike, came and bought gold jewelry of all kinds, brooches, which is nose ring, earrings, rings, and ornaments. And you can read the rest. What's that about? What God is telling us here is that what you have may not be in a saving account, maybe right here. If you look into the mirror, you will know exactly what you have. If you just take a look at your surrounding, you know what you have. God is asking you to look into your life. What is making you presentable to the community? You know, just look at what made you beautiful. Now I'm talking about a woman. Maybe you need to sacrifice your makeup, you know, whatever that is. But whatever is how to present you to the community, those are the things that God is looking at you. Now, in our days, you may not be your nose ring, your earrings, and your jewelry on your body. It may be your house that is presented to the community. Here I am, somebody. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's your checking account. Or whatever that may be. Oh, some of you, I'm sorry to say this, might be your belt, you know. Whatever that is, that is present yourself to all the people as I'm somebody. That part you own. And God said, look at it. Can you give that? And God will speak to you on what item you are to give. So that is the first part. I'm going to go quickly, go to verse 25, and we're going to look at those people who don't have things in their possessions, and they go and mate, and from the earning that they bring it in. Every skilled woman spun with her hands and brought what she had spun, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn or fine linen. And all the women who were willing and had the skill spun the goat hair. But look down to chapter 36, verse 5. All the people continued to bring free will offering morning after morning. Now, those verses tell us that these people didn't have. They didn't have the cloth in the way that God desired. They didn't have the linen. They don't have their gold hair together, but they go and they make. And after they made it, they bring it. After they made it, they bring it in. That's called earning in our days. So some of us may not have anything to give. We may be like these people here. And some would think, okay, I don't have it, but I know how to make egg rolls. I'm going to go and make egg rolls. Some might say, hey, I know how to plant a garden, and I can sell those vegetables in the farmer's market. I can do that. And some of you may have other ideas. Some of you may say, hey, each month, my wife and our children spend $200 just eating out. Why don't we just cut that and just bring that in? Whatever that God is telling you, speaking to you, that is what you are to respond in kind and bring that in. Bring that earning in, not in a lump sum, but continuously until the project is done. That is second group of the people. The third group of people, we read from verse chapter 36, verse 3 to 5, and also chapter 35 here, verse 30, on to chapter 36, verse 4. And we see that there are some people who did not have to give. Or maybe they already give, but here they have the skills and they want to give themselves into it. That's the sweat equity I'm talking about. If you start a business or you build a house, you know that both money and manpower is required. Some may be able to give money. Some be able to spend the time and build that up. God endowed each individual with gifts. Your gift is different from mine. Mine is different from yours. Whatever gift God is giving to you, God is asking you to do that out of what God has wired you to do, to participate. The idea here is that everyone can participate. No one should be left out. So, anyone in the church should participate. Participate in the way that God is calling you to do. All right, let me now conclude this message. How would this apply to us here? I already talked about how you go and find money that you have possessed. Our situation is different from the Israelite situation. They're building something from the ground up. We're going to buy a building that has already been built. So the material we use are different from the material they use. They can bring in fresh items and make and build the building from the ground up. For us, it is already paid for, and so we just have to find money and buy it. So our situation is different. Think about that. The second thing I want to talk about is that we need $250,000 down payment. In our bank account, we have $250,000. We have to put down $280,000. We have $250,000 in the bank. We cannot give all that $250,000 toward the down payment. Why? Because we need money to operate the ministry here in the church. Orchard Alliance would require us to have some money, so much money in the account to operate our ministry. Because we exist for loving people. And our love for people should not stop just because we are buying this building to worship God. So the building committee suggests that we probably looking in between $100,000 to $150,000 to add to the part that we have in order to put down the down payment. I think that's reasonable. The second part that we need is that we will have an increased mortgage payment because we're moving into a bigger building. $1.1 million in mortgage, that would come to about $8,000 a month in mortgage payment. Right now, we are paying for these two buildings $2,200 plus. Out of the excess of giving, we have about another $3,000 that we can put toward this. So, based on our current giving, we have about $5,000 toward the mortgage, but we still need $3,000 more toward the mortgage payment. Right? So that doesn't count the insurance and utilities and the cost of doing ministry as we move into the new place. So we do have a gap, both the down payment and also in the monthly payment. The Capital Campaign Committee will give you a pledge card, maybe something on a white piece of paper, and you need to write your name. And there's two lines for you to pledge. One line is toward the down payment. If God is moving you to put something toward the down payment, put it on the line toward the down payment. But if you don't have that, the second line is for you to put down what is your pledge toward the mortgage payment. Okay, that needs to be done as well. So if God is moving you to put number on both lines, do that and respond faithfully to God. If God is moving you to just put some number on one of those lines, respond faithfully to that. Now, if you're struggling, you don't know what to put, then don't put anything there yet. Because, you know what? God's interest is for you to go to heaven. Much more so than to put money in this project. How do we know that? Because Jesus died for you. Jesus purchased you with his precious blood. And God wants you to be in heaven. If you're struggling with this, and if you force your spouse to give to this, and then you fight at home and you lost your salvation, God doesn't want that at all. That's why God is talking about a willing heart to give. That means you and your spouse must be together to do this. Do it with peace. Don't break your family. Don't break your commitment to the church. Now, if you don't have anything to give at all, please don't drop out of church. We want you here. The reason you are here in the church is not because we come and drag you to come to church. God did that. God bring you to church. The church belongs to you. God wants you to be part of this church. So come to church even if you don't give anything. So two things we must be sure of. First, your giving don't buy your ticket to go to heaven. Jesus already done that for you. Whether you give or don't give won't change anything there in terms of going to heaven. Second, God already brought you to this church. Whether you have something to give or you don't have anything to give at all, doesn't cost you anything, doesn't remove you from this church. You are still a member of the church. Be very certain of that. Okay, if you don't have anything to give and God doesn't move you to give at all, feel free just to don't put anything on that plus card until maybe later on God moves you. Months later, years later, God moves you, then you can do it at that time. Okay? I want you to be very clear of that. We will sell this building, but it would take time for us to sell this. Now, I want to conclude the conclusion. When you put these two numbers together, there's a gap in the down payment, there's a gap in the monthly payment for the mortgage. And you look at it, and you said, wow, it's so big. Sure, it is so big. God doesn't do a project that you can do it. God is God, and His project is always bigger than you are able to do. But God is the God of possibility. God is able to do everything and anything. Let's not doubt God. He's testing your faith, testing my faith. But He's not tempting you to fall from faith. What does that mean? God is calling you to do this project to make your faith stronger, to help you trust in God more than what you had been in previous months. God is asking you to step up to the plate and be with God in a greater way, greater commitment. That's the testing of your faith. God has no purpose here to throw you away from God. That's why it's not a temptation. But God works in mystery. God knows exactly how much it will take to buy this building. And God will speak to you individually and your spouse together. How much is your part? If you are obedient to God in your part, then we all together, when we obey God in this, we will have more than enough. If you read the Bible here in chapter 36 here, the people have received everything and they stop their work. They go to Moses and tell Moses, tell the people to stop because we have more than enough. God works like that. You just give your part. I just give you a part. You might have to go and earn the money and bring it in, or you might have to use your volunteer time to volunteer to do ministry here in the church. That's your contribution. But at the end, God will not be fooled. God will announce, and we will know at the point when God said, we have more than enough. God works like that. So let's trust God. Let's go with God on that. Let's stand and pray.